One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Welcome to part two of our conversation with Jessica Jones about the massive worlds of the supernatural.
You said that you've never seen like a one's face close up,
yeah.
But you have seen them. What have you seen?
Oh, man. Well, I've just seen them running around the tree lines. And that's about it. Just running through the tree lines and shadows. And I've never seen one up close before. So, and you know, to think about me being in the field for 11 years and never seen one up close, it's pretty crazy. It's pretty wild. But not to say I haven't experienced them. I've experienced them tons, but I've just never been close enough to see one's face.
What about evidence of their existence other than witnessing one up front? More so in terms of, evidence of their path or things that they've left behind. Does that exist? Are those things found?
Yeah. Well, you know, there's tracks. Mm-hmm. I mean, they leave all sorts of things. And I know people who go out and will take anything from peanut butter to children's toys, marbles, to a rotisserie chicken, you know, whatever they have.
Everyone knows they prefer fried. So
yeah, they'll go and leave them. Yeah, rotisserie is baked, you know, so it was healthy. But you know, they'll take things like that, and then the Bigfoots will a lot of time will re-gift and leave a gift for them, whether it be a dead animal, mm-hmm. or feathers or some sort of a tree structure or sticks that are in a design, you know, bones. And there's evidence. And, you know, I have a really wonderful Bigfoot museum here in Georgia called Expedition Bigfoot. Mm-hmm. And as a matter of fact, my cousin Jesse made this huge Bigfoot sculpture that's standing outside of the museum called Inkadoo, I think is his name. And it's made out of muscadine vines and a sculpture that he made. So if anybody ever goes there, y'all go check out the Bigfoot statue. But, you know, we have a great museum, and it gives a whole history of Bigfoot and Sasquatch all over our country and all over the world. And they have great evidence in there. I mean, they even have some Sasquatch poop. Okay.
Well,
hilarious.
My next question was going to be kind of along those lines. And it's one of the basic mm-hmm. ones is bodies, poop,
yeah.
things of that nature. You said, you know, you were asking those questions on your first expedition.
Yes.
What sort of answers would you give someone today when they ask those questions?
Well, I would give the same answers that I got from my teammates when I asked. You know, those guys have spent time at the body farm. And if you guys are familiar with the body farm or not familiar with it, it's where crime scene investigators and, you know, law enforcement people go and medical people go to examine dead bodies. Mm-hmm. Okay. So for forensic purposes. And so, you know, the head of my team had actually been body farm, and he told me, you know, bodies all decompose differently. And once a body decomposes and they're out in the woods, you know, animals take their bones and they scatter all over the place. And we just don't really know the makeup of a Bigfoot, first of all. So mm-hmm. we don't know how their bodies would decompose if they did die. Now, I personally believe that they're interdimensional. Okay. So that's my personal belief. It doesn't mean I'm right, but yeah. it means that's what I believe. Okay. And, because I've never seen a body. As a matter of fact, I don't personally believe that they have bedding sites. So, you know, we go out there and I've never crossed a place where they might be sleeping or yeah. in bed. A lot of the structures that you see, and I'm not talking about the big tree structures, like those are super real and the tree twists, but a lot of times, things that you come across could be a debris hut, you know, that a survivalist went out there and made, or sure. A lot of things can be explained away by human interaction in the woods, you know, a bored camper, you know, mm-hmm. or drunk campers or Boy Scouts or something, you know, making structures or something in the woods, you know, the people mistaken for a Bigfoot activity. So yeah, I don't know. Oh, but getting back to the body. Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, they, so they absolutely, they could decompose and, you know, just disappear quickly. I mean, a lot of bodies do. I mean, I don't know a lot of people that have come across a bear, you know, a bear carcass.
Sure.
You know, so, or any kind of big animal. So that's how it was explained to me. And that's the way I explain it to other people.
Are some locations, and I'm not talking physical structures here, because we often talk about haunted houses or buildings, whatever it may be. When it comes to, you know, big old open plots of land, not necessarily where anything has ever been built, at least to our, you know, historic knowledge, or really inhabited much by humans, are there areas where this activity is just, you know, off the charts or much mm-hmm. more frequent to have not only a Bigfoot type thing, but other paranormal activity as well. For example, like the Skinwalker Ranch and things of that nature.
Oh, absolutely. And one of the places that my team researches is called the Skinwalker Ranch of the South. Mm-hmm. Okay. So every place that we research rivals that of the Skinwalker Ranch. And yeah, and I think that there are many locations like that all across the United States and all across the world. Now, what constitutes that and what causes that to happen? Now, is it the land? Is it the people on it? I mean, is it just wherever certain people go, you know, that the activity follows them? I don't know. I think it is the land. I've noticed that we have a lot of a large concentration of minerals and quartz, you know, quartz crystal is at a lot of the places that we're located, you know, where we're researching. But yeah, there's something. Are they on certain ley lines, perhaps? Mm-hmm. It just depends. It really depends. But yeah, there are lots of places like that. And now the way my team finds places to go and research, a lot of times, if you listen to the locals, all right, they will, if a location has a history, like a legend, like an old witch, you know, or a dog man, or some kind of werewolf, or the pig man, or a goat man, or yeah. something like that, or a ghost road, you know, any kind of any kind of local legend that's been there for hundreds of years, or at least 100 years or 50 years, that's where you want to go research, because chances are there's some kind of truth behind that story. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's where I recommend people going to, never go alone if you're going to go out in the woods and do some research, but take some people with you and let people know where you're going, but research places like that, because that's where you're going to get the most activity.
I've wondered about things like the goat man and that nature of things. I've had people on the show who are, experts in those areas that have written books and such on the topics. And it seems a lot of those do kind of accept the idea that these things they can disappear. They have this ability that goes beyond them being something that naturally, lives in the woods or is just really good at hiding. And I'm wondering, is that connected then to the Bigfoot type sightings? Are they the yeah. same sort of thing? Are they just being misconstrued as something else?
I think they're connected in some way. And I think they're all different. I think they're all different species and different creatures of mm-hmm. some sort, but I think that a lot of them do have the same ability to come in and out of our reality. And considering that my team has documented a portal, what we consider a portal, and the story behind that is the two gentlemen that were sent over to check out this box that showed up in the middle of an open field, and it was not you could not see it with your own eyes. They could only see it through the thermal and the FLIR. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so the people that were looking through their thermal imaging cameras guided the gentleman to where the box was. And as they walked up to it, their heat signatures completely disappeared. Okay. And so they described this as walking into a black velvet curtain, and the entire environment changed to where they could not see the stars. The vegetation on the ground completely smoothed out to where it was thick vegetation and briars. And muddy grass to being a smooth surface where they were walking on. Okay. And mind you, they could not see this box with their own eyes. They just felt the difference, subtlety in the energy shift as they walked into it. And they had enough wherewithal to realize there was something wrong. And they turned around and walked back the way they came from, and their heat signatures reappeared. Okay. So, like I said, this is in an open field. Now, not too soon after that, the box shrunk down to a smaller size, and then it moved, and then it disappeared.
When you say box, what do you mean by box?
Like a box. It was a square, like a square, a cube.
And this is what you're seeing.
I've been calling it the black cube.
And this is what you're seeing as a heat signature on the camera?
Yes.
Okay.
It was a heat signature. Okay. Yeah, a square box. And the way it was described is that it had a door on it. It looked like it had a door and two crosses inside it. So it sounded, I've seen the video of it. Mm-hmm. I was not there filming it at the time, but I've seen the video of it. It has not been released to the public, not yet. Mm-hmm. But it's odd. It's very odd. And you can clearly see the two guys disappear when they walked over to it, and then reappear when they walked back out. So it's just odd. It was about the size of a small shed, mm-hmm. Like a tool shed or something. Yeah. It's about that size. It was just square. And I've researched this cube pretty extensively on my show, and I've brought all the people in that were involved in this just about, and we've all, all the team members and people that might know anything about portals, I've had them on my show. And the one thing that I did find an eerie similarity to was my friend Barry Littleton. He and I both were speakers at Camp Disclosure last year, and he has been an abductee most of his life, and is very knowledgeable in ET technology and things like that. And I was watching his presentation, and he showed the inside of a spacecraft that he had drawn out. And, an artist drew a rendition of what he saw. Mm-hmm. And there was a big black cube inside the spacecraft that looked like the cube that was in the field. So we kind of made a connection, like, is it an EE technology, or is it some sort of stargate, or is this some sort of portal? Is it something that our government is doing. And, you know, is this a military operation? I mean, we don't know. We're not sure. But it is interesting considering all of the missing people that are disappearing from our national forests and our woods every year. So could this be where they're going? Maybe. I don't know.
Is there a danger involved with something like that where the people, you know, they're seeing this on the camera. They're seeing the heat signature of there's a box out there that is not clearly there by the naked eye. Why don't you guys go over there and check it out? I
mean, yeah, it was a big danger, actually. There was a radiation spike when they went over to it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they carry all the equipment and had Geiger counters, which measured radiation. And there was a spike. And shortly thereafter, both of the gentlemen developed terrible health conditions. And one of them actually is deceased now.
Oh, God.
And, yeah.
So when your group says, go over there, pause.
Yeah. Well, now it's gotten to be where we have a protocol, you know, if we encounter that again. You know, some people have volunteered to go back in it, and some of us say, heck no, we're never going near that.
Sure.
But yeah, we've had to rethink how we research out in the woods now because of that. And it's just kind of another layer of just danger.
Sure.
Out in the woods. Not only are we dealing with Bigfoot and ET, but now we have portals that we have to worry about.
Mm-hmm. Let's shift the subject a little bit, because I wanted to talk about some of this that you had hinted at earlier before we wrap anything up. Communication with, you know, ETs, for lack of a better term, things that, you know, that come from another place, not necessarily ghosts, but you said that you've had communication there. You compared it to similarly how it was with the ghostly like figures at your bedside when you were a kid. Tell me about some of that. Tell me about some of those experiences and how that kind of began for you.
Yeah, well, the ET experiences, that was really interesting because I had always been interested in ETs, of course, and as a kid, but I never in a million years thought that I would be encountering them as an adult. Mm-hmm. And so after we had some experiences out in the woods with orbs and ETs and missing time and things like that, we were all encouraged, the whole team was encouraged to start studying alien abductions and aliens. And so it was something that I really had not dived into too much because it just wasn't my thing until I started experiencing it when Sure. we were doing Bigfooting out in the woods. So I got all these books, you know, my Amazon list was ridiculous. I just was, you know, ordering all these alien books, like Communion and The Threat and Secret Life and things like that. And I was reading those. And that's when I don't know if I manifested ETs or maybe they'd always been there and I just had not seen them and been aware and not been on that frequency. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I woke up in the middle of, I want to say the middle of the night, but it was probably around 4 or 5 in the morning. It was still dark outside. The first time I had an experience, I woke up and there were two little guys. I'm going to call them little guys standing in my doorway. So, and it was pretty brief. There was slight communication of some sort, and then I fell asleep. So I guess that there was some way that they knocked me out, I'm assuming. I think that's kind of a common recurring theme is, you know, you see something and then you just fall back to sleep, you know. Why not? Let me just go back to sleep.
And then someone could easily say, well, you know, you were just dreaming, you know, you were kind of in between those states. And what would you say to someone, you know, I'm sure this is not the first time, you know, someone would actually say that to you.
Oh, yeah.
How Yeah. How do you argue that? How do you, obviously it's a personal thing. And if you saw it, you know, you believe it because there's no way of necessarily convincing someone. But if you really wanted to really try and tell them, no, it wasn't. And here's why I believe it wasn't just a dream. Right.
Well, you know, I'm not here and my mission has never been to prove anything to anybody.
Sure.
Because I'm living this life. This is my life and I'm experiencing things and I'm telling my story. And if anybody wants to hear it, I'll tell you.
Sure.
You know, and so that's kind of how I live. And my philosophy is I've got a lot of good stories that I can tell people. If anybody wants to hear them. I don't usually volunteer my stories, but if somebody asks, I'll tell you. And you know, I don't know. You know, I first of all, every time I've ever had an incident like a ghost or an ET, the first thing I do when I wake up in the morning the next day is write it down. Okay. And so I'll draw what I saw and I will put it in my journal. Okay. I'll draw it and then I'll write everything I can remember. And that's really important for everybody to do all the time. If you're, just for your mental health and for a lot of other stuff, it's really great to journal every morning and write your dreams down.
Sure.
Okay. And so, yes, I've been told, oh, you know, that was probably just a dream. You were having sleep paralysis or whatever. Well, you know, that's a possibility. It is. But to me, it was very real. Okay.
Sure.
And, you know, I'm one of those people that kind of connects on a lot of different dimensions all at once. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of a multidimensional being. So like I was saying with the Bigfoot thing, once you get into this and once you're, you understand there's an X factor to Bigfoot, it's hard to decipher sometimes like what's a dream and what's telepathy and what you're really hearing and, you know, ghosts and aliens and Bigfoot. It's just like this big mix. So yeah. I know that sounds kind of crazy to the average person hearing that, but once you get to be where I'm at right now on my journey, you'll understand. It's it can be really interesting and really odd, but yeah, you know, I write down all my experiences, and to me, it was very real. And I think that anyone who's ever had an abduction experience or any kind of ET alien experience will tell you, even a Bigfoot experience, even a ghost experience, it was real to them. Okay. And
sure.
it was very real, and it does make you question your reality. And yeah, it makes you question your sanity sometimes. It's like, wow, did I see that? And you want to think it was a dream. You know, it'd be a lot easier if that was a dream, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, it'd be easier to explain that away by just accepting that it was a dream.
Sure.
But to me, it wasn't a dream.
And at the end of the day, I mean, if it was an experience that came to you and it wasn't a dream, it wasn't your mind manifesting this, but it came to you in some way, shape or form, and let's say in reality, if there was a camera on you, maybe there was nothing actually in your doorway, maybe you actually never really even sat up, but you had the experience and it was very real to you.
Yeah.
In the same way that someone may have like a visitation dream from a deceased loved one, but it was very real, and sometimes true. Information is given that they otherwise would not know, and they wake up and they have this experience. But if you had the camera on them, grandpa didn't show up in the room. There wasn't that physical activity of it, but it was more of a spiritual thing. And the message still came. That's something I wonder about too, when it comes to things like abductions and things of that nature. Is that something that a physical body is literally going into a craft or whatever you want to call it? Or is that more of a mental thing? Is that more of a, you know, you're laying, you've never truly left your bed, but your consciousness did. And it wasn't your mind creating this. Your consciousness left, your body's there, and it's experiencing it in this whole other way. Is that what abductions are, more than a physical, they're taking you up there and probing you?
Yeah, you know what? Yeah. And I just got goosebumps on my legs when you said that. And a lot of times that, Kate, there's something really truthful about that statement. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had this conversation with people. I think that can be it. And that's where I was going with the whole, you know, 3D, 4D, 5D,
yeah,
all the way to 9, 12D, you know, dimensional stuff. It's, we live on different dimensions. Okay. And I am a multidimensional being. We all are. Okay. Some of us just aren't aware as aware as others, but yeah, I believe so. You know, in your dream state, that's like being on the 5D, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I think that, yeah, it's like our soul. I mean, it can be anything. I mean, yeah, I also believe it's possible that people in their 3D bodies are getting taken into spacecrafts or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Anything's possible at this point.
Sure. Okay. Well, it's 2022. Anything's possible.
Yes. Anything. Listen, I've seen some weird stuff. So, you know, I've come to the terms and to the conclusion that anything can happen. So, you know, I and I'm here for this wild ride.
That wraps up part two of our conversation with Jessica Jones about the massive world of the supernatural. Thank you to her for joining us on the program. And thank you to you for supporting us and keeping us on the air. We would not exist without it. Until next time, for The Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I had gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to COSI starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at COSI.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to COSI. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to COSI starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at COSI.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to COSI. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to COSI starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at COSI.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to COSI. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to COSI starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at COSI.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to COSI. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to COSI starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at COSI.org.